Mother's Day for a preacher is always interesting, and it has some interesting stories to it. I'm going to tell this from first person. I remember back in my seminary days, there was a great preacher named Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, and he taught one of my classes at seminary, and he spoke at chapel often and loved to go hear him speak. And so one time, my roommate Greg Ligon and I, we went and we heard him speak across the campus at the college. We were at the seminary. And he was talking about, it was a Mother's Day sermon, so he said, and he told a story about, he said, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife, my mother. And so we really thought, oh, that's so cool, Dr. Kinlaw, he's so cool, he tells a great joke. And so a few years later, when we graduated, he was a pastor in South Texas, and so he thought he'd try that joke out. But Greg, he's a very, very brilliant guy, but once in a while he's a little forgetful, and so he's telling that story, and it didn't come out right. Well, he ends up calling me, and this is how I find out, because he's like, Wes, I'm in trouble. It's like, what's going on? He goes, well, the deacons are meeting at my church tonight, and doesn't sound good for me. It's like, what in the world's wrong, Greg? What happened? He goes, well, you know, remember that Dr. Kinlaw joke? And he said, I tried to tell it, but I forgot something. So I said, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife, and for the life of me, I can't remember who. Greg, that's not good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We've been studying through Genesis, and Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and it's appropriately so because it means beginnings. And we've been trying to talk about how what Genesis really is trying to say, the who and the what, not necessarily the how and the why. We don't know how old the earth is, or why God created just Adam and Eve at the beginning and all those things. But what we do know is who? God. And it says, and those are the first four words are so critical. In the beginning, God. We know who created it. We know what he created. He created the heavens and the earth. He created human beings. And that's what we know. And we trust and believe in that. And if that's true, all of our lives evolve around that truth and that reality, that if God created the heavens and the earth and he created us, then he is our Lord, he is our creator, and everything evolves and everything in our lives have to do should focus around him as the center, the epicenter of all that. And so that's the who and the what. And then a couple weeks ago at Easter, we talked about even though God has a plan, that plan is opposed. We have an adversary we know as the devil. And the devil is, in contrast, classically, we have good, God, who's, and then evil, Satan. And we choose every day whether we will be a good person or not, whether we will follow the ways of the Lord or we will not, and therefore we follow the prince of this air, as the Bible says, the devil. The enemy, as we know, we talked about this word, shadow mission. And a shadow mission is just like a human has a shadow, it's a dark image of our true self. God has a true image, a true self for us, who he wants us to be, and to follow his ways, his plans, his idea, his purpose for our life. But the enemy wants to distract us. He's a great deceiver. He's a great liar, and he wants to lie to you and tell you that there's another mission for you. That's what we call a shadow mission. The devil wants you to do something else or anything else but what God has in store for you. And then last week we talked about, as we're going through Genesis, how Adam and Eve were created, and they were put in this paradise, and their mission, not their shadow mission, but God's intention, was that they would be caretakers. That they would take care of the world that God has placed them in, and they would take care of other human beings, each other. And so our purpose is to be caretakers, to tend to other people, very naturally from the beginning of time, and also to walk with God and to trust his goodness and trust that his intentions are good to us in every way. But Satan had a shadow mission, and when we started our series, we really started out there where how Adam and Eve were put in this paradise, and it was like an all-inclusive, that clothing was even optional. That's how it was innocent and pure and everything was good. And the enemy comes in and begins to do the shadow mission, and he begins to ask them and he begins to get them to question and lose faith and trust in God's goodness. And he questions whether God is holding back something good from them. And they go and eat the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And therefore, sin enters into our world. And we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 3. And it says, verse 13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life.'" And verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." So let's look at that just for a second. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. We know from scholarship that this word seed, he will crush this seed that he says between your offspring and hers is singular. And that singular idea is a prophetic utterance of the future. That here, even though this the woman, first the enemy, the devil, the serpent is cursed and he crawls on his belly, now womankind is cursed. And so part of that curse is there'll be enmity between you, your offspring and hers. And the prophetic utterance talks about this idea of someday Jesus on the cross. That Jesus crushes Satan's plans to destroy all of our lives. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John says, the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. And that's what he wants from your life. That's his shadow mission. Whatever he can do to lie to you, to deceive you, to take you out of God's perfect will, God's plan, God's mission for your life, he wants to kill it. And he wants to destroy your life. He wants to steal all the joy from you. But Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have life more abundantly," or to the full. And so there's this tension. There's this cosmic war going on between good and evil, between God and his mission for our life and the enemy and his shadow mission. And there in the prophetic utterance, it says, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." It's interesting because I want to focus on that a little bit because today's Mother's Day. And it's a special day to give tribute to our mothers, right? But I also know, because we live in a fallen, broken world, this can be a day filled with mixed emotions. Some of us have had great mothers. Others have lost their mothers. Sometimes we have joy and gratitude. And go, wow. And just like Clark's wonderful testimony about Jackie. Some, it's painful. Some, you remember the neglect of it or the broken promises of it. Some wounds run really deep, and so Mother's Day can be painful. Mother's Day is also can be a day of hope where every woman in this audience is saying, "I hope I'm a good mom," or "I hope someday that I can be a good mom." That's one of the reasons why we read Scripture, because the Bible gives us great perspective. It's God's tool that helps us have some perspective. That's why we read it, and that's also why we gather in the name of the Lord to study it and to be taught by it. It constantly states that God is creator, and that he's good, and that he loves us, and that we can trust him. It generally also lets us know that God doesn't exempt us from pain. We can read the stories of people who walk with the Lord faithfully, devout followers of God, Christians, and they also suffer. But we also recognize that pain doesn't have to be meaningless. That pain can be a way of refining us, like Joseph made him into this great leader, or even Christ himself, a man well acquainted with grief and sorrow. It also declares that God will walk with us. That's good, isn't it? That he will walk with us in this life from our very first day to our very last breath. But also, Scripture is very honest. It doesn't hide the fact that Abraham was a chronic liar. It doesn't hide the fact that Moses murdered a man. It doesn't hide the fact that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's incredibly honest about people who are also in relationship with the Lord. But it lets us know that God wants our relationship, and he wants it to be genuine and authentic. So, we get a voice. You have a say. You can decide. You can make a choice. Yes, I want to trust God and walk with him. No, I don't want to walk with him. He lets us know the reality of those choices and those consequences, doesn't he? But at the same time, he won't jump in and violate our will. He won't strong-arm us that way. It's easy to get hurt and bruised in this world. God's answer isn't always what we hope or expect, but his presence will be with us. That's what he always promises. But we go back and we look at Genesis 3:15. It says, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. There's a prophetic utterance that it's pointing to another time. Even though Adam and Eve are being kicked out of the garden in this moment, paradise is lost. Now we live between that paradise and the paradise that we believe is coming, that we hope for. So we have to go to the New Testament to look how that gets fulfilled. If you have your Bibles, turn over with me to Luke chapter 1. I think we're going to show it on the screen for you, but I'm going to also read it for you. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 26 and go through verse 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, just for clarity, favor is for purpose. We all know the story of Mary and Joseph, but favor isn't for status of now God is going to do something where you're really popular and you're iconic and all this stuff. But this is for purpose, not for status. What we do know is not a whole lot. Again, it's not the how or the details of her life. We gather mostly that she's a peasant girl. We gather mostly that she's young. We also gather that she's very ordinary. But he says, the Lord is with you. That gives me, as an ordinary guy, great hope that the Lord is with ordinary people. God isn't looking for someone extraordinary. But what he wants us is to make room for him to do work in our lives. Create a little space for the Lord to inhabit us. I think of Mary. Imagine the shock of all of a sudden seeing an angel. Look at verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. That's an appropriate response of seeing an angel, right? Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So Mary was greatly troubled. Then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." This is the first Happy Mother's Day. He says, "Happy Mother's Day, your child is going to be a king. You're going to give birth to God's son in this world." That's a strange greeting. And oh, sure, I won't worry about that. I won't be worried about giving birth to God. Look at verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. Nope, she wants to know how, just like we do. And the Lord doesn't always tell, but sometimes he does. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." How will this be? He often tells us who or what, not always how or why. In this case, he tells her how a little bit. This is God's divine message for Mary. Think about that just for a moment. What's God's divine message for you? Are you open to hear Him speak? Maybe He wants to speak today. What fears creep in the minute you think, God might want to say something to me today? Is it to do with, is it the cost? How much is this going to cost me? Is it the time? Man, our time is so precious these days. Will God want more of my time? I don't want to lose friends. Will I lose friends over this? Imagine what Mary thought also to go, I don't want my friends to think I'm nuts. I don't want my family to think I've just gone all the deep end. Imagine Mary. Will this cost me my life if I'm going to give birth to a God? God? Will I be an outcast because I'm not married and pregnant? I could lose my Joseph. I could lose my relationship. I could lose my love. I could be destitute without a baby. How will anyone ever understand? How does anyone raise God on our own? What will people really think when I say, no, really, it's the Lord's baby? Can you imagine? Think of this. To try to carry out this assignment, not everyone's going to like what you're carrying. Not everyone's going to believe you. Most won't. It's going to cost you. It will disrupt your plans, your hopes, your dreams. Often when we think about, well, what does God want from my life? And what if the Lord were to show up today and speak to me and alter my dreams? We'd have a whole lot of but gods, wouldn't we? But God, I don't have time. But God, I'm not trained. I love what Clark said. He doesn't call the only the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I don't have time. I'm not trained. I'm fearful of what this will do to my reputation. This is a dream killer. Here's the problem, though. All those but gods seem humble, don't they? Well, I'm disqualified or whatever. But in reality, it's an issue of pride and trust. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? We believe that those first four words, in the beginning God, and God's got a plan, and the Bible's true, we know that there's heaven waiting for those who put their faith and hope and trust in Him. We all want to go to heaven. But living here in between that paradise and the one to come, we don't want really lordship. It's sometimes phrased like this, maybe deep in our heart, but maybe not verbally. I want my life, my way, on my terms, and God is welcome to come with me. Isn't that how it goes sometimes? Oh, we would never say it out loud because it feels like blasphemy. But your actions are a declarer. Our actions are a declarer of what we really hold to. It's my time. It's my money. It's my resources. It's for my family. When he says Happy Mother's Day, Mary would have had to relinquish really her wedding dreams. You know, the dreams, as girls dream today, even, my dad's going to walk me down the aisle and I'm going to wear a white dress. Her house dreams of being able to afford a life that in the suburbs, and you have a little white house with a white picket fence, but all of a sudden, now you're going to be on the run for people who are going to be chasing her and after her son to kill him. Or her career path, or just being maybe a stay-at-home mom, which is a great career, and just be on the run. God said to her, I want you to trust me more than your own limitations. I want you to make more room in your life for me. Imagine if God were to say that to you, not just to Mary then, but Imagine if God were to show up today and say, I want you to trust me beyond what you're thinking right now of your own limitations. I want you to make more room in your life for me. I want you to put your life on hold, your schedule, your day planner, your future, your hopes and dreams. I want your dreams to die so that my dreams can live inside of you. Some of you might be thinking, what's he going to do? What's he going to ask us? That's between you and the Lord. What is he going to do? What is he going to ask of you? I want you to be a carrier of my son Jesus to a lost and dying world. That was his call to Mary, wasn't it? But isn't that really the call for us? That we know the way and the truth and the life. What if he wants you to be the carrier of Jesus to a lost and dying world? Who else is going to do it other than those who know him? Other than those who are willing to yield their life and their will and their way and their time to the Lord? Yes, there will be pain in childbearing. Focus for a minute on verse 37 of Luke chapter 1. For no word from God will ever fail. Isn't that a great verse? For no word from God will ever fail. I love that because this is right after he's said, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen to Mary. And I'm telling you, this is the angel saying to her, you're going to have a son and he's going to reign forever and ever. Yes, my seed, your seed, will bring about the redemption. I think about that. No word of the Lord of God will ever fail. Then look at verse 15 again. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. There, the prophecy. It's soon going to come to pass is what the Lord is telling her. That way back in Genesis 3, after the sin, God had a plan. God had a purpose. He had a purpose for womankind. And he had a purpose for this lady, Mary, to bear the seed of God. And he will crush the hopes and dreams of Satan, so that gods can live. And so he says to us, I want your life and for you to trust me as Lord of it. That's what he's saying to Mary. It's nice in Scripture, but what if the Lord is to say that to us today? I want your life and for you to trust me as Lord of it. I don't want to just come along and you live your life and you determine your future and your career path and all those things. I want to be Lord. I want to be Lord of your life. I want to be Lord of your time. I want to be Lord of your resources. I want to be Lord of your talents. And so many times we go, I'm going to do my thing and do my dreams and my hopes. And God, you're welcome to come along. I find, especially today, we are so culturally, so psychologically driven, so depravity programmed to play it safe. We just want to put in our years of work and retire and die a happy old man or woman. In some ways, we're really saying this, I want to arrive at death calmly and safely. But just think about that. You're still arriving at death. No one arrives at death safely. But we all will arrive. It's appointed for man once to die and then to face judgment.
But Mary, as a young woman, was asked to arrange her schedule, her calendar, her quality of life.
That sounds like motherhood, doesn't it? Arrange your schedule, or you arrange your quality of life, arrange your calendar in order to bring Jesus into the world. But you're no different than Mary today, how she was then. She wasn't planning on God to show up to speak to her. She wasn't planning to think about an angel showing up that day. Often we come to church and we go, we're going to go to worship. We're going to hear a message. We hope Wes doesn't go too long. And we're going to take mom out to lunch today. But what if God really wants to speak?
She wasn't planning on having God for a baby. God's divine plan, as we celebrate this Mother's Day, was for Mary to be a mom, for motherhood. But we're really no different. God's got a plan for all you moms. He's got a mission for all of you moms. And for all you guys, too. For all of us ordinary people, God has a purpose and a plan. God's got a purpose and a mission for your life. Do you know what it is? Have you asked Him? Have you asked Him to reveal what He'd have of you? Are you willing to have your life inconvenienced? Are you willing to have your life interrupted for the purposes of God? I want us to think and ponder on that. I would like the worship team to come up. We want to spend a little bit of time in worship. If you want to come and, if you haven't partaken in communion, we want to offer that. If you want to come and pray and seek the Lord. But let's just spend the time worshiping in the same way that Mary didn't plan on an angel of the Lord showing up that day. Maybe you didn't plan on the Lord really speaking today, but what if God wants to? What if God wants to tell you something about your purpose, the purpose for your life, and the plan that God has for you? Maybe we just need to ask Him. I think of this. I said it earlier. Jesus' first recorded miracle came at the request of His mother, didn't it? He turns the water into wine. We don't know how, but it was a miracle. I love what, going back to Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, he says this. This is how it happened. He goes, "The water saw its maker and just blushed." I love that, don't you? That wouldn't it be amazing if we saw our maker and it also transformed us? So Jesus' first recorded miracle came at the request of His mother. You know what? Jesus' last great act, His last really miraculous thing that He did came at the request of His Father. Luke 22, verse 42 says this, Jesus' response to the request of His Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." Not my will, but yours be done. He must have learned that from His mother. Because her response to the angel's declaration was in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Let's worship today. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Let's consider. Is Jesus Lord of your life, or have you just invited Him to come follow along on what your plans for your life are? And are you willing to do what He's asking of you to do? Maybe you don't know. Maybe today is a good day to ask. Maybe you just want to worship the Lord. Maybe you just want to be grateful for your mom. Maybe you want to pray for her, pray for your family. The altar's open. But let's just take this time to reflect and consider what the Lord would have for us today. I want to read to you from Ephesians. "In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Mary carried around God in her 9 months, as they say. The Bible tells us, you and I carry God around in us. Ephesians 2:10 said, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has plans, and He has plans to work in you and through you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you showed up to an ordinary girl. And you spoke to her. And you asked her to live an unordinary life. Thank you for our moms as a testimony of even Pat today, reminding us that that's a tender thing. We're so grateful for our moms. And thank you for Kai's testimony that we need you to speak to us, Lord. We need to hear what you're trying to say to us. There are areas in our life that sometimes aren't surrendered, and we just need you to put your holy finger on that and touch that area. Give us a soft heart, a malleable will to hear what you have for us. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here today that doesn't know you, has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that today you'll speak to them, that voice inside, that confliction, that restlessness, is your spirit trying to invite them to come live the life that you have for them, to give up their will, to give up their hopes, give up their dreams, and make you Lord Jesus of all their life. And so I pray that we, as a church, will surrender our wills, our ways, to the things of your kingdom, and to the voice of your spirit. I pray your peace and blessing on our mothers, especially today, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.